know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
We say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness. We lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Look with me at the insert, and before we stand and sing what was intended to be a perfect hymn, and I do believe that intention was achieved, before we stand and sing, let us call each to worship using the words of Psalm 111. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them.
His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works, and given them the lands and nations.
The work of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in the fear of the
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have good understanding. His praise is the Lord's forever.
Let us stand and praise him through joy to the world.
Exodus 13, 1 through 3a, 11 through 15.
The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. Then Moses said to the people, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among the sons you shall redeem. And when in time you come, your sons ask you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever, who has transformed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, made your children, and as your children, we're grateful and bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. ring out throughout the land, beginning in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lisa. Those words are beautiful. We want to ring out the gospel. It's always good to see everyone here. And I'm delighted to see someone that we don't get to see as often as I'd like. It's good to have Brian Everett with us this morning. A couple of the best sermons I've ever heard delivered in our congregation, Brian gave. And he's quite a preacher. He spent a little bit of time now in the dental field, but he may be back to the pulpit one day. So good to have all of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We pray now as we spend just a few moments that the only word we will seek to hear is yours, that your Holy Spirit would prepare our hearts to bid him welcome. We would see Jesus and him alone. And we pray in his holy name. Amen. A lot of gifts were given yesterday. Many people, I bet, from young to old, were thrilled with a particular gift that they received. You may be one of them. I know I was quite happy, in particular with a beautiful antique lamp that I'm going to put in my sitting table in my library often. So thank you. And you may have received some gift that thrilled you. Got a question to ask you. How long is that thrill going to last?
Until the chocolate runs out.
Brian's not the only Everett that likes to proclaim his voice until the chocolate runs out. That thrill for me was never there. You didn't have the chocolate. And that's a different story, how long the thrill lasts. I want to ask a different question. How long will the gift itself last? With chocolate, it's quite perishable. But I remember in particular when my son was only 4 or 5, I labored, I think I can say this, helping Santa out, putting it together all through the wee hours of the morning, only for upon his excitement in seeing this new toy, and he went to use it for the first time, and then I had to explain to him why toys break. Sometimes Santa's helpers aren't as crafty as others, so I guess I didn't do a good job, and it broke. And the truth of the matter is, we live in a life where toys break. Electronic equipment gets quickly outdated. Styles change. There, even eggnog has an expiration date. I mean, things don't last. Some things come with a highly advertised lifetime warranty. But 90-some-odd% of the time, items that come with an advertised lifetime warranty have a catch. Sometimes it's for the lifetime of the original purchaser. Sometimes they say it's for the lifetime of the item itself, which is quite redundant. Sometimes there's a handling fee that's so expensive to activate this lifetime warranty and replacement, it's just cheaper to get a new thing. So, bottom line, and most of us have lived long enough to know this, there are absolutely no guarantees in this world. Like Zuzu Bailey, we might know the pain of crying out asking Daddy to fix our flower when the petals break. But the truth of the matter is, outside of movies, it's buyer beware. There's no guarantee. But there was one gift given yesterday that is fully guaranteed. It not only has a lifetime guarantee, it has an afterlife guarantee. We read about it, if you look with me, in Psalm 111. We used it to call each other to worship. And if you look at our passage in the 111th Psalm, picked for this first day of Christmas, we'll see in verse 8, they stand forever and ever because they are done in true and quality, equity. What lasts forever? Well, we read scripture in context, and the truth, the statement, the axiom in verse 8 that they are last forever, guaranteed, makes reference to verse 7. It's his work of his hands that is guaranteed to last forever. And to further clarify, on the other side of verse 8, we're told what the work of his hands is. The work of his hand is the redemption of his people. Guaranteed. I love the word forever. It's just a great word. Don't you like the word forever? But also, don't you know the hard truth of using that word and learning that it was used inappropriately? What you thought would be forever, that gift received, that item obtained, that relationship secured, that promotion earned, worked for and achieved, and we knew forever. And there's no guarantee. It breaks. But the truth of Christmas is there's one gift that has this guarantee forever. It stands forever and ever. And we celebrate the one
who was fulfilled. He is, as we read in Luke 2, if you came to our Christmas Eve service, or if you just know, why did Joseph and Mary have to go back to Bethlehem? Now, there's a lot of political ramifications that the gospel writer puts there to point out that and rub the nose of all the readers that we have a new king in town. But the reason we know, it's quite poetically inscribed in our mind from hearing it over and over in the King James, because he was of the house and lineage of David. David liked the word forever. He knew it applied to the covenant that God has established with him. And in 2 Samuel 23:5, I want to use a verse that replicates what Psalm 111 says. In 2 Samuel 23:5, David confesses, "For he has made with me an everlasting covenant." Guaranteed. Let's break that down. Very simple. Nothing fancy here. "For he has made with me." For he, the source, our guarantee, our redemption is divine in origin. The creator God who spoke the world into existence, the compassionate God who sent his son to die, the comprehensive God who is all sufficient, he is the one who has made this covenant. See, the truth of the matter is, and why sometimes you have used the word forever in an inaccurate or inappropriate setting, is the truth of the matter is that excuse me. A guarantee is only as good as the issuer of that guarantee, right? If you've ever been like I have on the streets of New York City and you see the horde of merchants that walk around with big sheets until someone gets by them and they'll open the sheet and they'll tell you, they'll guarantee you that these are actual Prada handbags. Good luck. I still have in my possession. It's a reminder of me of my stupidity and naivete at times. I still have in my possession the title of a 1983 Toyota Tercel that's long since been gone. And attached to that is a written guarantee by an individual who came, and I won't mention his name for I may be sued in the weird world we live in, but this individual, when I sold that Tercel in the late 80s, I was asking $1,500. This individual said that he would love to have my 1983 Toyota Tercel, beautiful red hatchback little thing, but he only had $500. But he had, and I've always wanted one, he had a Rolex. So I gave this individual my Toyota Tercel for $500 and a guaranteed, legitimate, bona fide Rolex. Until my Rolex stopped working. And then in my ignorance, thinking a Rolex had a battery, and obviously it needed a battery, I took it to a local jeweler, and I set it on his counter, and as soon as he looked at it, he backed away and said, "Please take that off my counter," because he was a legitimate Rolex repairman, and as you well know, I had been duped, and he would lose his license and probably his credibility had he tried to work on that. I keep the title just to remind me that just because someone guarantees something doesn't make it so. In fact, the longer we live, the smaller the list of people that we really know make a sure guarantee. In fact, if we live life properly, I'm going to argue, if we live life properly, if we live life with awareness, we will all wind up as monotheists, because we'll all narrow the list of people that we know we can bet our life on to one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. I love the part of our Eucharistic prayer when we sing together that hymn of unending praise and we declare that He is the one. And we know, and I try to emphasize it in the way I say it, that when we say He, we mean only Him. Not just a confession of our faith, it's a confession of our experience that everything else fails. Every other toy breaks, every other guarantee falls, because only one is made by the Creator. He, and then David goes on to say, He has made with me the application of it. He is the source, the God of the universe. He has made with me. He didn't just come. He came for you. He didn't just die. He died for you. He didn't just rise. He rose for you. He doesn't just love. He loves you. The devils believe, but they don't apply. A Savior is not only born, but a Savior has been born this day in the city of David, a Savior for me. Pro me. It's for you. There's no better word. There's no better two words in the world. For you. I'm guaranteed. He has made for me an everlasting covenant. The duration of this covenant. See, we sometimes, if we really buy into a school of thought that I won't get into called dispensationalism that makes these little compartments, but sometimes the way it's presented, we can sort of think that God was this, as one author calls him, the God of the Old Testament was this mean bully. But thank God we've got this loving Son that comes along and softens up the old man. Judge. But the truth of the matter is God's love didn't start with the incarnation of Jesus. God's love is eternal. God's love is forever. I want to remind you, if, as any parent who's ever watched a child struggle, that when Jesus struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't the only one in that family struggling. We picture Jesus struggling because he didn't want to endure the cup of separation from the Father. But don't forget, the Father is struggling, watching his Son, knowing that he was going to have to look away when the sins of all of us were placed on him. The whole thing just reeks of love. God's love for his Son, God's love for us, their love for us is eternal. Paul tells us in that great love chapter, at the end, after he's described love, he says, faith, hope, and charity are love, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love better than faith and hope? Quite simply, there'll be a day that faith and hope doesn't exist. There's no faith in heaven. There's no hope in heaven. You know why? You're there. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. But when you're in heaven, we will see him as he is. We don't need to hope. There's no cry, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, when we're there. But love remains. It's eternal. There never has been a day where God's love didn't drive everything. I guarantee you. See, his love will never end and it'll never change. And that's the joy that comes to us. Don't you love the fact that God can never love you anymore? You could come forward, quit your job, give up your retirement, sell your home, and say that you're going to go and spend the rest of your life living in a third world nation preaching the gospel, to give your life for all things. And guess what? God's not going to love you any more than he does right now. And the truth of the matter is, since God's love is eternal, the corollary to the fact that his love will never increase for you, guess what comes along with that? There's nothing you can do that would make him love you any less. His love is perfect. It's an eternal guarantee. A firm foundation. It's the only gift you've ever received that is forever. I guarantee it. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy are you, embracing God, for through your word all things came into being, and without you not one thing was made. As your word spoke through your covenant, you created a people bound to you. Through promise and pardon, slavery and exile, you showed that what had come into being through you was life. Your prophets promised that life is a light for all people, and spoke of a day of comfort and redemption, when ruins and waste places would break forth into song, when that day came and the Word became flesh. Your angels sang for joy and put a new song into our hearts. And even when we rejected your Son, you brought forth from his death a resurrection of everlasting glory. You welcome us as your forgiven people, uniting heaven and earth, and joining our voices with angels and archangels in the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Life-giving God, as your word became flesh and lived among us, come among us now in the fullness of your grace and truth. Make us as holy as you are holy through your finished work, that your word may become flesh anew today. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
God of glory, make your church a sign of newborn hope in your kingdom, born in us today. Where your children are faced with ruin, show them redemption.
where sorrow endures, bring your holy comfort. Where division excludes, give your grace. Where bondage confines, sing your new song. Restore our hope in you until the day when all that you have brought into being finds its everlasting destiny in the glory of your only Son, when nothing in heaven or on earth falls outside your redeeming purpose, and when all things shall be full of grace and truth in you, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Let me pick up one more thought about gifts. Did any of you spend too much on a gift given this year? Have you ever received a gift and you were somewhat embarrassed because you knew it wasn't something you just said out of obligatory politeness? They really did do too much. You just knew they spent way too much. Again, let me point to one gift. And he thinks it was a good deal. We're told in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that for you, for your sake, he was made poor. The Greek word there is only found there. And it's a word that doesn't mean to lessen your holdings. It doesn't mean, well, I spent too much. It truly means I gave up everything, leaving myself in a destitute position. He loves you that much. He gave up everything for you and for me. Not begrudgingly, but again, somehow in his amazing grace, he rejoices in that. He sings praises. He was tickled to give up all to redeem you. I guarantee it. And it's based on that truth I offer unto all of you who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth, to come and to receive the gift of his body and blood, the redemption of your soul. Amen.